everybody. What? When you want me to flip? I think I'm too old to flip. But take two. First of all, I want to get this thing linked in here. Okay. Okay. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who am I? And the branches and I Hashem great to be back with you. Whatever. You know what my passion is? That is to reach the young people of America with the gospel. And what I wanted to share with you this morning, there are actually two organizations that I'm aware of that can reach students during the day, during the school day, with Bible teaching. And I'd like to share those with you today. I've talked a lot about school ministries, but I have not shown you this presentation, and I'd like to do that this morning with you. And feel free to ask questions as I go along, okay? This is not just a lecture or a sermon. It's actually sort of a sharing with you, so you can also climb on board with these opportunities. The one of them you probably never heard of before, but I wanted to share this with you as well. But then also I'm going to conclude with Release Time Bible Education School Ministries, we call it. But there is another organization which I also want to share with you that is involved in teaching public school students the Bible during the school day in the classroom. So if you'll take the next one, please, brother. All right, what is the largest unreached people group in America today with the gospel? The answer is clearly our young people. The public school students of America number between 49 and 51 million students. Actually, the number is going down because of abortion and a few other things. And a lot of parents are also taking their kids out of public school and putting them in private school for safety or for just plain old clearer teaching rather than getting all this lefty stuff that we're getting in our public schools. So the largest unreached people group by far in America today is the young people in our public schools. So we need to reach those. We tend to think, when we think of the mission field, our mind typically goes to a native who might be in a loincloth someplace in Africa or South America, but we have people right here outside the door, as I've been telling you, and I'm delighted that Scott has been working on this along with some others here, trying to reach out even through the Lighthouse. So I just want to encourage you people tremendously to get that done. I know God can do it. All right, next please. All right, the largest unreached people group, the answer is America's 53 million public school students in grades kindergarten to 12th grade. And they need to hear the gospel. Less than half of them go anywhere to church. And those that do go to a house of worship, let's call it that, not necessarily a Bible-believing church, very few of them are actually hearing the gospel. Okay, a lot of them are going just to meet friends or to enjoy the dinners and the baseball games that they might have, and they're not really there to study the scriptures. So it's really a challenge today to get America's young people to hear the scriptures. Okay, next please. We'd like to think that kids out there have at least an elementary understanding of what the Bible is, but many of them, when you ask them anything about the Bible, you'd be amazed at what their answers are. They're just, you know, off the charts as far as, you know, what the Bible really says. You ask them to name a book of the Bible, they can't even name one, you know. You ask them what John 3:16 is, you know, maybe you'll get an answer. I think it's the bathroom on the third floor. You know, they don't know. They just don't know about the Bible. And they're being told by a lot of the people, the administration of the school, that you're not allowed to bring a Bible to school. That's not true, by the way. You can bring it, but you sometimes you're not allowed to read it, or you're not allowed to talk to people about it, and so on. But these kids need to know what the scripture says, and they need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a lot of that's not happening today across America. Next, please. But isn't it illegal to teach the Bible in public schools today? And the answer is no. I think a lot of you, if you've talked to people on the street out here and it said, is it illegal to teach the Bible in public school? Oh, yeah, you can't do that. And, you know, we talk about separation of church and state. And what it's turned out to be is isolation between church and state, not just separation. But the founders of our country never, ever intended to have Bible as a separate entity from the school. In fact, believe it or not, the Congress, way back in the early days, allocated money to buy Bibles for the public school. I mean, I can show you the date and time and legislation. So, and they also bought Bibles for missionaries. So how things have changed over the years. We've become really just farther and farther away, and it's as we've gotten farther and farther away, of course, the country's become more secular, more violence, more illegitimacy, more you name it, and so the country has gone from bad to worse. So it is not illegal. So what we've got, God has given us a couple of tools that in our hands, and what he's saying is use them, use them. And so I'm here to tell you we need to be aware of these things and then respond to these doors that are opening or that are already open to us across the United States. Next, please. All right, but isn't it illegal to teach the Bible in public schools today? The answer is, academically, yes. Okay? You can't teach it academically. Okay? There's a difference between academically and spiritually. Okay? You can teach it historically. Now I'm going to tell you how to do that. But you can't do it devotionally, if you know what I mean. I mean, teaching it how it can change your life, how you can know Christ as your Savior, how you can live for Him, and how we need to love Him and worship Him and so on and honor Him. So I'm going to split it into two pieces here. Academically, we can actually teach it, but we cannot teach it in the school devotionally. So let me go farther. Next, please. Okay. Time Magazine says public school students must learn about the Bible. You say, what? Time Magazine? Are you kidding me? Go to this particular issue of Time Magazine. It's about 10 years ago. Academic Bible courses require a textbook and a teacher training, teachers to be trained to teach them. Bible knowledge is essential to basic cultural literacy. What happened was, and this is when I was working with them some years ago, a survey went out to a number of what I would call very, very liberal universities across America, Princeton, Harvard, Yale, NYU, Harvard, all these different schools, universities. You say to yourself, now these people are going to say, you don't need the Bible. I mean, it's irrelevant. You know, it's a fairy tale. It's a whatever. It's not for today. You don't need to know the Bible. And we sent it to, I believe, a couple of dozen different universities. And we expected some of them to respond back. And we got nearly 100% return on our questionnaire. And I don't know whether you can anticipate what the answers were, but the answers were stunning. So let me move on to the next one, please. 11 years ago. But it's still true today, okay? Bible literacy, it's what these universities said. Virtually 100% of the ones that we surveyed, we didn't, you know, cherry pick ones that we thought would agree with us. These are leading edge universities. I said Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Brown, the very lefty schools on the West Coast as well, Stanford and so on. And the answers came back, we believe it is essential for students in America to understand the Bible, what it says. You go, huh? You got to be kidding. What you're saying is you need to become literate about the Bible. Now, what does Bible literacy mean? So what are the major narratives? You know, what are the major themes? Creation, the flood, the Exodus, you know, all the way through. Okay, the major characters, Moses, Adam, Joseph, Jesus, the apostles, and so on. Who were these major characters? Also, what are the major themes? Creation, sin, the fall, you know, the various themes throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the crucifixion and so on, and prophecy. All of these things. Why? Because when you go through literature, this is their approach. They say in literature, the Bible is referenced all over the place. You say, huh? You're kidding. But when you look through Scripture, you know, you hear people use phrases that you say, you're a Judas, you know. If you don't know what the Bible says about Judas, you don't know what being a Judas means. You see my point? And there's all kinds of phrases that we use. In fact, I didn't think I brought it with me, but there are thousands of references that people use throughout literature. In fact, Shakespeare has over 1,000 references to the Bible in Shakespeare. Okay? So how can you completely understand the secular media unless you understand the Bible? So that's the rationale. So biblical reference are in art and literature and the different canons of the Bible recognized by different faith groups. The Bible's placed in literary and cultural history. All of these things are included in what they're calling Bible literacy. Next, please. So the three questions to consider about academic study of the Bible This is during the school day for credit, okay? Is it legal? Secondly, is it needed? And thirdly, how should it be done? So first of all, it is legal as long as you don't teach it devotionally. Now you're saying, well, wait a minute, Jim, how about release time? I'm getting to that. These are both legal. We have to separate the two. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I want you to be aware of these two different programs. Is it legal? Yes, it is legal. As long as you have a textbook that is what I would call religious neutral. Okay, in other words, you're not trying to evangelize. You're not trying to get people to change their lifestyle because of what it says. Is it needed? Well, I think that we've already concluded with the studies that have been done that you need to understand the Bible, at least what does it say academically, and geographically and culturally, so that you can understand literature, understand history, understand a whole bunch of stuff, culture. So then the question is, how should it be done? And that's what's been addressed through this 501c3 organization called the Bible Literacy Project, BLP we call it. And it's growing across America. And Chuck Stetson, who was leading this, had founded School Ministries, which is still going on. And so he is leading this, and he asked me if I would, when he went into this venture, he said, Jim, would you continue to chair School Ministries? And I'm going to chair this, because the problem is, if I chair both of them, in fact, he started getting pressure, people would go online and they would see that he's doing Bible Literacy Project, which is not evangelistic, but he also is chairman of Release Time, which is evangelistic. And then he said, I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I don't want to do that. So you understand. So Chuck lives up in New York, comes from a very well-to-do family. They've been very benevolent as far as the ministry of missions across America. In fact, they helped the King's College quite a bit during its transition from the older administration where they almost went under. And so Chuck is now leading this effort. He lives, as I said, in New York City. So how should it be done? Next, please. Teaching about the Bible in public schools, is it legal? The answer is yes. If it's taught objectively as part of a secular program of education, said the Supreme Court in 1963, decision that also stopped devotional reading of the Bible in public schools. Okay. Now, way before 1963, release time was already legal. Okay. But it had to be off the school grounds. There are other rules where you could teach it devotionally, but you couldn't do it on site. So we have two different programs that we can use to address the needs of our young people in America's public schools, okay? So yes, you can teach it publicly, you can teach it in public school academically, but not devotionally during the school day. But you can teach it devotionally during the school day off the school campus. It can be right next door, but it can't be on the campus, okay? So let's move on, next. All right, so the guidelines for legal public school Bible courses already exist. In 1999, 21 national organizations endorsed legal guidelines for academic study of Bible, of the Bible in public schools. Now, what would be those organizations? What would you think who would want to endorse teaching the Bible? HIBA, okay. What other national organizations? Well, you're going to be shocked. Next, please. National School Boards Association, the American Association of School Administrators, the American Jewish Congress, the National Association of Evangelicals, and 15 other prominent groups, okay? Jewish, Catholic, okay? They're all saying, yeah, we want you to teach this academically. So, how do you teach this academically to satisfy all these different divergent views, right? The Jews look at the Bible one way, the quote-unquote Protestants look at it another way, and even within the Protestant community, you have a tremendous range of values. And then you've got other people that are out there looking at it with a different point of view. So how do you do that? So what Chuck has done is he sort of preempted this, you know, because what he decided to do is, listen, I'll write the book, okay? So he wrote a book, and I don't have it with me, but it's a great, big, beautiful book. It costs about $75 each copy. And who buys it, by the way? School. The school pays for this book about the Bible. Okay? So let's keep going. Next project, next page, please. Legal public school courses must, one, this is in the school, approach the subject academically and not devotionally, and to study religion but not to practice it. In other words, you can't start telling people that you need to pray and you need to do this and need to memorize these verses and so on. But you're trying to find out what is in the Bible and you know, history and culture and so on. Study religion, not practice it. Also, educate about religions, not promote any particular religion. Okay. So, and then inform the student about beliefs and not try to basically inculcate them. In other words, try to pick one as a preference. Okay. So, you say, that's a little tricky, isn't it? How do I teach this so I don't show prejudice against one or the other? So Chuck has done that, though. Next chart, please. All right. Three questions to consider about academic study of the Bible in public schools. One, is it legal? Two, is it needed? And how should it be done? And the Bible literacy reports came out, which basically said, yes, it's legal. Yes, it's needed. And also, let me suggest, this is a book that we've prepared that basically takes the entire Bible in a course material kind of a thing. $75 for the hardback, full-color book, and there's also a teacher's manual that goes with it that's even bigger, okay? So you don't have somebody who's freewheeling this. There's a structure, and let me keep going, please. The BLP project, the Bible Literacy Project report, 2005, 98% of high school English teachers surveyed said the Bible knowledge gives students a distinct academic advantage, okay? The entrance of thy word giveth light. The word will not return void. You know that, right? Now, these people that are involved in this academically don't seem to understand that. And I don't think I'm going to remind them. The scripture will not return void. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay. And they actually look at scripture. They don't just sort of talk about it, but they look at scripture. You know, what does this mean? Where was this located and so on? In the process, though, they are getting exposed to the scriptures. Okay. Next, please. The Bible Literacy Project report of 2005, the Gallup poll showed widespread ignorance among teens. 17% thought the road to Damascus was where Jesus was crucified. 68% couldn't identify who asked, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We know who that was, right? Okay, there's the answer. 53% couldn't name the biblical event at Cana, you know, turning the water into wine. 22% thought Moses was either one of Jesus' 12 apostles, an Egyptian, Pharaoh, or an angel. Now, I would imagine, given the time that's elapsed, this number's probably around half of that now, as far as the ignorance of our public school students. So the answer is kids need to know the Bible much better than they do now. Next, please. Okay. Report number two, a year later, 100% of the professors in college surveyed agree, regardless of a person's faith, an educated person needs to know about the Bible. Harvard, Yale, MIT, Princeton, so on, were included in this study. 100%, 100%, you should know about the Bible. That doesn't mean you have to believe in it, but you should know about it. Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. Okay, next. Professors responded to the statement, regardless of a person's faith, an educated person needs to know about the Bible. Harvard, definitely agree. Princeton, oh, absolutely, absolutely. University of Michigan, incontestable, you need to know the Bible. University of Utah, more necessary than the classics. Forget Shakespeare, study the Bible. Okay. Yes, a no-brainer, University of Virginia. Not one professor that we surveyed said you don't need it. Okay. That's surprising, isn't it? Okay, next, please. All right, so what is in the Bible Literacy Project book called, what's it called now? Anyhow, I'll think of it. But this book that we have covers these particular events and people. Well, here's the interesting thing. How is it written? Well, Chuck Stetson has worked with Chuck Colson and a lot of the and Billy Graham and some of these organizations. So he's very, very skilled as a writer. He knows the scriptures inside out and upside down. And so the way he presents it is really, I think, clever. What he says when he talks about, say, creation. Okay, let's start there. Instead of saying, starting sort of taking a neutral stand on this, he'll say, for example, well, Christians believe that creation was 6 days. In other words, he describes what Christians believe. Okay? you know, all through it, it says, well, Christians believe this, however Jews believe this, and so on. But Christians believe this. So he's presenting the beliefs that we study devotionally, but he's putting it in a sort of a neutral context, but the truth is still there. You see my point? And he's able to get away with that, if I can say this privately here. He's able to, that's acceptable, because he's simply making a statement. Yes, Christians believe this. I'm not telling you to believe it, but that's what they believe. Okay, so that's the way the book is written, and it's chapters, 66 chapters with the 66 books summarized. Every chapter is, you know, every chapter is another book. Genesis, Exodus, all the way to Revelation. Okay, and these are some of the areas that they cover. Of course, they give an outline of the book and what the theme of it is, and so on. But these are some of the things that are covered in it. Okay, all the way through the creation, through the crucifixion and the life of Jesus and the Tower of Babel and so on. You can go through this. All of these things are covered. Okay. Surveyed teacher said students must know these biblical terms to succeed in high school. Hey, how do you get it in them if it's illegal to study the Bible? Well, it is legal. So, you know, any of these topics, you know, hopefully when I point to it, you can start talking about, when I say walking on water, what comes to your mind when you talk about walking on water? What's that about? You know, because in everyday life, you hear people say, well, you think you walk on water. Well, what's that mean? Well, you go back to the fact when Jesus was walking on the water in the Sea of Galilee and so on, so on, so on, and Peter and that whole thing, okay? You know, or you can talk about, am I my brother's keeper? Well, what's that about? And then you go back to Genesis and so on. So the point is that these things now are being recognized by the public schools of America, that you really need to know these things. That doesn't mean that you have to necessarily embrace them all, but you need to know about them so you can refer to them in your daily life. Okay, so that's where this is going. Next, please. All right, some of the great literature assumes Bible knowledge. Like, the Bible is referenced in all of these books and many, many more, but you know, maybe you didn't realize it. But East of Eden, The Grapes of Wrath, Hamlet, The Hard Times, Jane Eyre, Tale of Two Cities, all of these and many, many more have Bible references in them. It doesn't say this is from the Bible, but they're inserted in there, various terms and so on, okay? So the point is, if you read these things and you don't understand what the Bible has to say, you're not going to get the full meaning of the book. So that's the way we go about trying to convince the public schools that this is important, okay? All right, any questions, anybody so far? Okay, let's move on. Next, please. All right, so the study of history requires Bible knowledge. I've been to the mountaintop, I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that as we, a people, will get to the promised land. How do you know what that means unless you know the Bible, you know, getting to the promised land? So, in fact, that was the speech he gave the night before he was shot and killed. So we might not get to the promised land. So what we're trying to get across to the nation's schools is, if you don't have a knowledge of the Bible, you don't have a complete education. Okay. So that's what's going on with the Bible Literacy Project. Next, please. Okay, just a couple more slides. Bible references make everyday headlines. Peace and goodwill contend with force and fury in the Mideast, Washington Post. Next, please. SUVs aren't the root of all evil. You know, what is the root of all evil? Love of money. Not money, though. The love of money is the root of that. So, you know, by knowing the scriptures, obviously, it's going to help people understand what that really means. Okay, next, please. When David steals Goliath's music, okay, again, I mean, what's David, what's that got to do with anything? You know, I don't know what David Goliath is, but you know the scriptures, now you know sort of what this means. You see the point? New York Times, next please. And there's hundreds of those, but I just picked a few. Major media endorsed Bible Literacy Project in public schools. Here's Time Magazine. We should teach the Bible in public school. Essential to being a full-fledged, well-rounded citizen, Time Magazine. When public schools decline to impart knowledge about such an important subject, they are failing their schools. Chicago Tribune. You know, let's talk about lefties, you know. How are we to expect our young people to live up to America's ideals if they are cut off from the stories, beliefs, and metaphors that give those principles life? Wall Street Journal. So we could go on and on and on. The point is, a knowledge of the Bible, even academically, is helpful, very useful. And also it helps us with school ministries, because when they come with at least a secular knowledge of what's in there, now we tell them to turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. They've heard of that, okay? So then the teaching, that part of teaching is a lot easier than starting from zero. You know, at least you're able to start with some kind of an understanding of what the Bible is and what the books are in it and the main characters and so on. Okay, next please. All right. Other leading high school teachers are saying that it's needed. University professors and 30 other leading schools that we surveyed basically said the same thing. Major media, Chicago Times, Wall Street Journal, all of them are agreeing that it's important. Next, please. So three questions to consider about academic study of the Bible then is it legal? Yes, it is. Is it needed? Oh, absolutely. And how should it be done? And we'll talk a little bit about that. Next, please. Okay. Time Magazine, teaching about the Bible in public schools, how should it be done? Public school Bible electives should have a strong accompanying textbook on the model of the Bible and its influence. And that book is the textbook that's used for people to teach us in the public schools. Okay. Now, we find a lot of Christian teachers, maybe retired teachers from public school, are teaching this particular course for credit in high school. Because they understand the scriptures, they know the Lord, and they're able to communicate the best as far as what the content of scripture is. So we're trying to recruit public school teachers, and even those that have recently retired, to teach this class, because it's sort of a stepping stone to release time, which is the devotional part of our Bible outreach. Next, please. All right, there's the front page of the book right there, and it's about... It's about this big, you know, about that big. It's a large book, and this is the textbook that Chuck Stetson co-authored, and it's extremely well done. As I said, right now it was about $75 when I looked at it last time. That was about 5 years ago, so it's probably maybe closer to 90 now. But, and then there's also a teacher's manual that's even bigger than that, so I'm guessing the teacher's manual might be 100. And it's keyed, of course, to the textbook that the students have. And these books are not bought by the students, they're bought by the school system, okay? And this is like in like 35 states now across America, okay? So I'm just trying to let you folks know this is, I don't know the answer to that. But if you want to go online, go to www.BibleLiteracyProject.org or BLP.org, okay? All right, next please. Okay, it's praised for its influence, scholarship, and its broad support. Here's the New York State School Board of Association on the particular thing. A remarkable textbook. Can you believe that? One of the year's top notable books, the Associated Press. And you go, what in the world is going on here? Okay. Now, I don't think that they'll say the same thing about release time, because we're getting into the devotional part. You know, we're getting into the life-changing part. This particular project, though, is a stepping stone, I believe, to introducing kids to Christ that have no understanding at all of what the Bible's about and what Christianity is all about. Okay. Next, please. It's reviews, 40 distinguished reviewers of the book that I just said. They actually reviewed the draft of the book. The Harvard Law School, University of Chicago, First Amendment Center, Catholic Bible Association, Jewish Publication, Berkeley, can you believe? Westminster Seminary, American Jewish Congress. You say, man, oh man, it looks like a United Nations, you know. But they have agreed. Okay? You say, wow. The reason why they agree, I believe, is because we are not pushing them to trust in Christ. But I do believe that exposing them to the truths of Scripture, it will not return void. Now, the key is that we have teachers that understand the Scriptures and know the Lord. And that's being worked across the country. So it's out there, and it's thriving and growing. So what we're trying to do is partner with these folks, you know, so that they can feed students to release time and take it farther, you see. into an actually a life-changing experience down here rather than just academically up here. Next, please. All right, the various components, you've got the Bible. The students can pick whatever version they wish to have. The student text that provides background, cultural, literary, and historical connections. That's the book I just showed you. The teacher's edition with lesson plans, scheduling plans, background, and classroom scripts. So it's keyed to the student text, obviously. And then also even online teacher training for credit. How about that? Okay, next, please. Let me see here. The importance of the student textbook, the teachers, the school officials, parents, and students know how the subject is being presented. There it is. Take a look at it. It's not just in somebody's purse or backpack, you know, and they happen to rip it out and start teaching. There's the book. Take it home and look at it. Okay? It's not a big secret. Okay? It has beautiful artwork in it, and features on culture are interesting and enriching for teens. Next, please. Okay? Here we're looking at various kinds of historical things, cultural things. That's just a sample of what the pages look like, okay? I know it's not very clear, but that's sort of the format for the book. Next, please. All right, the Bible and its influence. Just a couple more pages, and we'll get into school ministries, which we probably have to go to the next session for. But teacher's edition features reduced student pages with wraparound notes and planning charts and documents. You know, it's an amazing book, really. I can't say enough good things about it. It's extremely well done. It's not something sort of thrown together and hope you like it because, you know, it's the best I can do. It is professionally done. Next, please. All right. The teacher's edition, there's some sample pages. Genesis, there's origins, it says there. It gives a description. And you can buy these online. You can buy the books. Okay. Next, please. All right. The Bible and its influence, comprehensive online teacher training in First Amendment guidelines also. You need to understand what's legal and what's not. And also teaching Bible content. Guess what? I guess you need that too. And continuing credit units are available, CEUs we call them. Okay, I mean, I teach a three-day course on defense, and I offer 2.4 CEUs, and these people come because they get the credit, and that goes toward their, you know, their moving in their professional career. Offered year-round by the School of Education at Concordia University in Portland. That's one of the places. It's offered other places as well. But that's just one of the early ones. Next, please. Okay, the Bible and its influence already in use. Since publication in 2005, the Bible and its influence has been adopted in 130 school districts in 31 states and three foreign countries. Now this, if I updated it even more now, it's in about 40 states and a couple of hundred school districts have adopted it as an elective, okay, during the school day. I don't know the answer to that, okay? But you can go online and find out. Let me see. It looks, Pennsylvania is right here, right? Yeah, there's a big white spot there. Yeah. The answer is I don't know. Yes, there are some in New York, I know, okay? New York State, which has been very tough, and also California, of course, but we've pretty well peppered California, okay? Of course, we also have release time in Oakland and various other places. California is really growing quickly as far as release time and the BLP, so, okay? All right, they're not in competition, they are complementary, okay? All right, let's go. In three foreign countries, believe it or not. Okay, next, please, just a couple more. Is it legal? The answer is absolutely. Is it needed? Amen. Yes. How should it be done? Using the acclaimed curriculum, the Bible and its influence. Study the course. Consider including it in next year's elective offerings. You know, this particular presentation that was put together to basically offer to school boards. You know, this is what we're thinking about. And so I think it's a pretty sound rationale. And I think with a lot of the schools having shootings and robberies and rapes and you name it, they're looking for something that is going to sort of, if nothing else, cut down on the violence here, you know. Just sort of give me anything, you know. Body armor, give me something, you know. And this, of course, is very, 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 very successful. Okay. Sure. Well, I think a lot depends on where you are. If you're presented in South Carolina, probably you know, very, very enthusiastically or almost enthusiastically. But in other places, it really depends on the school board, the population of the school board, I mean, who they have on the board. Okay? Because some of these very lefty kind of, you know, school boards, and it is voluntary, most of the people, I don't think many of them are paid, if any, to serve on the board, but it's a very powerful position. And I would encourage Christians out there to check into how you can serve on the school board. You can have a tremendous impact on what's in the school system. But a lot of people are too busy, you know, and then they complain about the school system, they don't do anything about it. So what we found is that the decisions are made very often on a 5-4 basis or 4-5 basis, you know, so it could be split. We were out in California trying to get release time into the public schools out there in the state of California, the whole state. And of course, people told us there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to get release time in California. It just ain't going to happen because they're very, very liberal, extremely lefty, you know. So we prayed about it. This is 2 years ago. We prayed about it, and not just prayed about it. We were down on our knees. And so we decided to go forward for trusting the Lord. And people said, you know, there's 9 people on the board. We know for a fact that the majority are going to vote against it, and we just know it. Okay, we've done a little polling, and, you know, it ain't going to happen. So what happened was we went in there expecting sort of maybe a 7-2 vote against us, and it went to the subcommittee, education subcommittee, and it turned out that there were 4 against, 4 supporting it, and 1 abstention. Now you got a 4-4-1 abstention. So if you don't get a positive, you can't move forward on a neutral. Okay. So we prayed, and eventually what happened, the thing turned to support us, so we had a 5-4 vote, positive vote. But then when it went to the full committee found out that the vote was yes. So the legislature of California, it came out of committee 5-4 pro, okay? Then it went to the full House and Senate, and it got out that it was going to go forward, and one of the people chickened out that had voted for it and voted against it, and it didn't go. So when the full legislature was going to vote on it, it didn't pass. So, but I still think that it's important for us to continue to pray that God will push us through. So that's where it is right now. I'm in the state of California. What happens? The winds blow east from California. Whatever happens in California, it hits us in a year or 2 or 3 or 4, okay? That's just the way the country is. And whether it's same-sex marriage or whether it's abortion or whatever it happens to be. Okay, so please pray, because we really look at California as sort of a bellwether, you know, is it going to go or not? So, anyway. All right, anything else? Because I want to get in. Oh, time's already up. Tell you what, why don't we take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll get into school ministries a little bit. And then, okay? So let's just stand up and stretch a little bit. Okay.